The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Anthony Davis. What is Anthony Davis? Do you think of him as a four or a five? I know it's positionless basketball and all that stuff nowadays, but is he a four or a five? Is he a power forward or a center? I'll tell you why I ask in a second. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. See, I think of, like, Tim Duncan's the greatest power forward of all time, right? And I'm not the first person to say Anthony Davis is the first guy to come along since Duncan. I mean, it hasn't been that long. Who could maybe challenge him for that title. But Duncan was really a center. You know, what is a center, really? Can you play with your back to the basket? And can you defend the rim? And then even if you're technically the four, you're kind of a five. What's a power forward been before this? A power forward's not tall enough to defend the rim. And otherwise can rebound and do some things, you know, back in the day. And nowadays you want them to be able to shoot also to stretch the floor, because even today a lot of centers can't really bomb from three. Many can, but many still can't. So Tim Duncan's game really puts him among the all-time great centers. But among power forwards, he's one. And Anthony Davis doesn't like to bang down low, really. And so you call him a power forward, but he's a rim-protecting power forward like Duncan. And he has a chance to be better than Duncan, but maybe not as great. Because Tim Duncan, winning five championships, well, he had Popovich, yes. Yes, that redounds to his, like, if you have two equally bright kids, one goes to community college, one goes to Harvard, after 4 years, there are compounding advantages. After 4 years, you might say the kid who went to Harvard's smarter than the kid who went to community college because he got a better education. Well, if the kid who went to community college would have gone to Harvard, yeah, well, that's true, but he didn't. If you go into the league as Tim Duncan with Greg Popovich your entire career, it makes you better. Tom Brady with Bill Belichick, it made him better. Duncan and Brady would have been great wherever they went. But the fact that they were with the all-time greats made them even better. So Duncan had that going for him. Duncan was a clutch player. A lot of times you don't think of bigs as clutch. You think of the guy, the playmaker, you know, the guy who can go get his own shot, the high usage guy, the point guard, the two guard, as the clutch player. But Duncan was very clutch and a clutch defensive player too. And he's the greatest of all time. Anthony Davis could challenge him, but you got to win at least a chip. You know, he's had individual years, he's had seasons where his numbers say, even his percentages say, he's better than Duncan. But what about your influence on winning and losing? It's not like he had nobody when he was in New Orleans. He had some good teams. They weren't great teams, but you know, when you rank the best players in the game, you think, a lot of times when they say, well, AD's a top five player, for years I believe that's true. I used to argue he's better than KD like 4 or 5 years ago. KD's is an easy target, because anytime you tell anyone's better than KD, immediately they get angry. And, you know, you could have made the argument in the last couple of years for a couple of guys here and there who were as good or better than KD. But AD, you know, you automatically say top five player. Well, count them up. Kawhi and LeBron and the freak and a healthy KD is four. What about Steph Curry or James Harden? I'll take AD over James Harden, I guess. Because I need to see Harden do this in the playoffs, you know, throughout an entire playoff run. But Steph is the engine of a championship dynasty. What has AD been? AD is right now the second best player, or tied for the best player, on a Lakers team that people thought were going to have their hands full with Portland. Why am I bringing all this up? Because he goes for 31-11 in 29 minutes. But more importantly, was the best player on either team. He was the best player on the floor last night. He imposed himself on the game. He played aggressively. Remember when I said if he doesn't like the three and he wants to take it to the paint, then do it. But don't hesitate. Then you don't have the three and you give the defense time. That indecision, that lack of decisiveness, told me that he was lacking confidence at a certain time. He was still trying to figure things out. Figured them out last night. And that's what you want to see from AD. You want to see that kind of play because it's in him. But until he can be the centerpiece or in the nucleus along with LeBron of a championship caliber team, how do you put him in the top five? Forget about Tim Duncan all time. How do you put him in the top five? Because if LeBron and AD, if two top five players are on the same team, they always, in the history of the modern NBA, have only ever made deep runs, if not won the title. There haven't been that many teams ever with two top five NBA players. You know, name brand Dwayne Wade, yes, he was top three or four when LeBron joined him in Miami, but in fact, he was no longer that player. We didn't know it, but he was exiting, you know, his prime. This is the best player LeBron's ever played with, but AD's got to play that way. The difference between the all-time greats, the MVPs, the championship players, and that next half level down is the next half level down doesn't do it consistently, especially when you most need it. Look at the Clippers. Paul George, big game in game one. They'd have lost that game anyway had that bogus ejection of Porzingis not taken place. But even once that happened, they needed Paul George to play big to win, and he did, and they did. Game two, he went away. They lost. Chris Middleton in Milwaukee. Where was he? Where's he been? You know, in the bubble. Gone. The Bucks lose game one. He'd never have a good, bad game. Game two also. Now, I'm not claiming Middleton is on Paul George's level, but that the ace needs that second banana to play big when most needed. And the thing about the Lakers, the reason people really like the Lakers, those who do, to go all the way right now, is because when you look at Paul George, even though he had an MVP caliber season until he got hurt last year, you don't quite think of him on that first level, on that MVP caliber level. My five-star system, five stars an MVP, four stars an all-star, three is a rotation player, or a starter, sorry, starter. Two is a rotation player, one's a replacement level player. Paul George is a 4.5. You want to say in a good year a 4.75? I'm not going to argue, but he's a 4.5. He's not a 4, not a regular all-star, better than that, but he's something less than an MVP. The reason people like the Lakers this year, if they do, is because they have two five-star players. AD is a five-star player. There's no reason that LeBron and AD don't make a deep playoff run if AD imposes himself on the game. I know letting the game come to you, especially when LeBron is running the show, but AD has to show up as a superstar all the time, not sometimes when you need him most right now. I know why people thought on paper AD and LeBron were the best combination this year. I thought it was Kawhi and Paul George. However, and I thought given LeBron's age coming off an injury, let's see. LeBron's proven it. The two guys you think of on MVP level are those two. They should be the best pair in the game. Porzingis and Doncic have been playing that way in the bubble. But given the fact that Porzingis is still trying to get there, Doncic really doesn't play defense yet, you can put LeBron and AD over them generally. And Paul George, given the fact, as I said, he's a 4.5, not quite a 5 usually, you could make the argument it's LeBron and AD. At least it should be. And we already know a bad game from LeBron is, damn, that's a damn good game in the playoffs for anyone else. Damn good. And a great game for LeBron, whew, that looked like the next thing to a prime MJ. So you don't have to worry about LeBron. What about you, AD? Can you be an MVP when the Lakers need you most? That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Hey, let's listen to Frank Vogel, Lakers head coach, of course, on AD's big game two.
You know, he just was aggressive, and he was making perimeter shots. You know, I thought he got plenty of good looks in the first game. Just had a tough shooting night. You know, that stuff happens from time to time. But he certainly was aggressive, and you know, as you play a team in the playoffs, you know, each game that goes by, you get a little bit further, better understanding of how you want to attack them, you know, their defense. So there's some things we did slightly differently to get him involved, but you know, for the most part, he just stayed aggressive, trusted his perimeter shot, and had a big night for us.
AD is in the zone, as you heard. In the Zone on the Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. That's how AD has to play. You got 2 5-star players on your team, MVP caliber players. There's no reason why they shouldn't make a very deep run, if not win it all. I didn't pick them to win it all because I feel like once you acquire an AD, you got to give up every asset you have. I don't want to hear about Kyle Kuzma. He's not. If he had any trade value, he'd have been gone. He doesn't have any. Didn't have any, at least. And still doesn't. But the cupboard's bare, but except for the top two guys. You're top heavy. The Lakers thought they were going to get Kawhi, but Kawhi's like, no, thanks. I'll compete against you. I don't want to make an unfair, you know, competitively imbalanced league. I don't want to come by my championship the cheap way. I'll compete against you guys. And then the Lakers are like, oh, well, now all the free agents are gone. We thought this money was going to go to Kawhi. Okay, we'll sign Danny Green and try to put together role players. They didn't really have the resources to get it done, and the timing wasn't right. So I really think that next year gives the Lakers a better chance to run the table because they'll get those role players right. They have an extra year of resources to do it and time to do it and figure it out. But even this year, history of the league, 2 top 5 players always make a deep playoff run. I cannot think of literally one time they didn't. Scoop Jackson is on the line. My man, Scoop!
Max!
There he is.
What up, man? What's going on? Hey, I love what you're saying, and I've heard you say this many, many times. I think there's one thing we have to keep in consideration. On the Lakers front, and yes, they did put all their eggs, you know, in to get Anthony Davis, but they were doing that before. I mean, that goes back a year and a half, you know, when the whole thing blew up about Anthony wanting out of New Orleans. They were in the process of making that happen anyway, but you have to keep in mind, they didn't expect Boogie Cousins to get hurt. So they kind of did have a plan in effect, because we'd have 3 players of all-star caliber on that squad if Boogie Cousins was not hurt.
Not really. Look, if Boogie Cousins was still an all-star caliber player, he wouldn't have been available for peanuts. Like, Boogie suffered a traumatic injury.
I know, but he's coming off an injury. I'm just saying, for the Lakers' mindset, I hear what you're saying, but keep in mind that they did look at Boogie Cousins as an asset that they could build with keeping Kuzma, with Anthony Davis, with LeBron James.
But what I'm saying is you can't assume optimal returns on every investment. So, for example, they got way more than they could have anticipated out of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. But they got less out of DeMarcus Cousins because of injury, right? But that comes out in the wash. If everything would have gone right for the Lakers, yeah, of course. If Boogie would have been his best self, yeah, different ball game. I agree.
Right.
By the way, even if Danny Green were hitting shots right now, they'd be in a better situation, right?
I know, but you're painting it as if they put everything in this and that was it. I'm saying there was another player on the horizon that we forget about because he's not there. That was part of their plan.
What I'm saying is, if he was actually a resource, he was a bit of a flyer. Like, you're taking a flyer. You're trying to see if this can come through the way the Blazers did with Carmelo, right? Like, maybe we could do something with this. But that's already when you're bargain hunting. That's already when you've shot your resources already, and now you got to look to try to find a diamond in the rough or a reclamation project or a veteran coming off injury. That's different than having something that other teams want. The Lakers gave up everything they had that other teams want because they got AD, and then they cleared the decks thinking we're going to sign Kawhi. When they didn't sign Kawhi, they're like, uh-oh, what to do now? Okay, Danny Green's still available. Let's get him in here. And they had to kind of throw it together. I think they did a very good job considering those circumstances. But my point is, that first year you bring a team together that really hasn't played together, especially with a big piece like AD, to me, that year, it's not when there's a pressure on. If LeBron was going to be a bum next year, I get it. But given the level, LeBron should be very, very good next year. Even if he's not MVP, he's still an all-star, right? So they got another year. I think next year is a better shot for them than now.
Yeah, but it goes back to the stage one. If they don't get out of this first round, which I think they will, but if they don't get out of the first round, then there's going to be more pressure on them next year.
Yep.
And we're going to have the same conversation over the winter that we had over the summer about the Lakers.
You're not allowed to not get out of the first round if you're the Lakers. You can't have 2 top 5 players. You can't say LeBron's the MVP. You got AD, and you get bumped in the first round? No.
Yeah, you got no disagreement with me on that. Look, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying that it fell that way, and looking at their roster and understanding what they had, however it happened, it's still not just two top 10 players. They expected Boogie to be there and like, all right, we can work with this. This would get us to the championship level. And I'm just saying, you know, just don't dismiss it. I don't want to think that it's not there and they didn't have that in consideration. That's all.
Dismissed. I don't care what you say. I totally disagree. I mean, like, great. If Cousins works out, great. But, you know, you're taking your chances on a guy coming off a traumatic injury. And that's why you were able to get him on your team. Look, let's go on to the Clippers for a second. Scoop, I'm worried about the Clippers. I'm a Lakers fan, but I picked the Clippers preseason.
I did too. We're on the same page with that.
It's not even how the Clippers are playing right now or that Patrick Beverley's hurt, which hurts them. It's the way the Mavericks are playing. I spent a lot of time on yesterday's show, Scoop, talking about the Mavs. It's not just that I think the Clippers are in trouble. I think the Mavs could put anyone in trouble. Not only do they have Doncic, who's an MVP-caliber player, but Porzingis is ascending from where he left off with the Knicks at this point, putting him into MVP territory the way he's been playing in the bubble. And then you got guys, I mentioned it yesterday, Seth Curry can shoot the... He's one of the all-time great shooters. Seth can shoot the three like very few could ever shoot the three. You got a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr., who's having a career year, who's an above-average two-guard, which is saying, like, that's a valuable thing to have. You have guys like Finney Smith, who can defend. Yes. He's a real 3-and-D guy and a very versatile defender, can defend every position. You have a guy like Kleba, who's 6'10", blocks shots, and can also bomb from three. Boban comes off your bench. If he catches it anywhere near the basket, that's an automatic bucket.
And you got Trey Burke playing like he wants Jalen Brunson traded.
By the way, but one thing about Trey Burke has always been he's an offensive player. Trey Burke can play offense. It's always been the case. But when you have Porzingis 7'3", and he's not even the tallest guy on your team who can play, I mean, they got the size, they got the shooting, and except for in the backcourt, which is a big thing, but except they got the defense, except for in the backcourt, Scoop, they're dangerous. They might run the table.
Well, here's the thing. The one thing that's holding against them is we haven't seen them do this before. They don't have any experience of playing together, and that's the reason a lot of experts, as we like to call ourselves, haven't picked them, because this is our first time seeing them gel together like this. I think the Clippers do have a problem, but it goes back to what you were saying earlier about having two players. To me, it's still if we could break down the rosters on both sides. And everybody has great players. It's just a matter of who's playing well. But let's, you know, fraction it down to the two top players. To me, it's all about whose two top players are going to play best and who's going to come out this series. So Porzingis and Luka are balling. Kawhi is doing Kawhi. Paul George has got to match whatever Porzingis is doing. If he doesn't, the Clippers aren't going to win. It's that simple.
Yep, the crime partner has got to be a partner in crime. That goes for Chris Middleton.
You got to match it.
I'm not saying Chris.
Those two players on each squad have to X each other out. Kawhi has to X out Luka. Paul has to X out Porzingis.
And by the way,
we talk about the ancillary player and the other players and the role players and who's going to play better on that. But if Paul George does not play to the level that KP is playing, the Clippers are not going to win this series.
By the way, if he is, the difference, the reason I like the Clippers also, in the history of the NBA, the most devastating combination was Jordan and Pippen. You know, LeBron and Wade were a whole lot of two. Forget about point guard stretch four, right? Or point guard big. Back in the day, Magic and Kareem, and that was some point guard, a 6'8" guy, you know, like the greatest ever. You could do it that way. The Celtics had Bird and McHale, a couple of kind of power forward-ish guys. But Bird could get you into your offense, too, a point kind of forward, too. That was in the 80s, right? But since then, this idea that you need the point guard stretch four like the Mavs had with Kidd and Dirk, that's one thing. But actually, the most devastating combination, get two-way wings. Two of them.
Yes.
Like pit bulls on defense and also slashers who can create their own shot and create for their teammates and shoot the ball. That's what the Clippers have. They should. That's why they're my pick. But you're right. George has to play like a superstar.
Max, I agree. But here's the other thing that has to happen. Two things. One, the thing that made Jordan and Pippen so great is what one couldn't do, the other fulfilled. And together, you put them together, they were practically the perfect player.
Right.
We have to find out if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, if put together, can be the perfect player that there are no holes, there's nothing they can't do.
Well, the passing isn't quite there.
Well, yeah, but here, the second thing we have to keep in mind is that it took Jordan and Pippen time to develop into that. They didn't start off the first time they hit the floor and become that player. So
Scoop. Like, that's such a myth. Hold on. Pippen was a puppy, right, when Jordan got him.
I know.
The first time. Let's not do revisionist history. I want to correct this for everyone. Because the easy narrative is the Pistons were experienced and Jordan needed to. The first time Pippen made an all-star team. The first time he made an all-star team. They went seven games. Pippen had the migraine. They lost. The next year, they never lost again.
Max, I was here. I'm here. All I'm saying is that it still took time to develop that. It didn't happen the first year they played together. This is Paul George and Kawhi's first year playing together.
Yeah, but that's the difference was, I don't think it's not about playing. I hear what you're saying. Chemistry matters. But I think more than not playing together, Pippen just entered the league. It took him a while to develop into an all-star.
That's true.
Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are both all-stars now. Now, they've been hurt so much, they have not had much time together. But they are all-stars. Like, they should have no problem playing right now.
Yeah, but elevating to the point where they become the perfect player, that they become the Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, I just think it takes a little time, not just 30 games. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, the same thing with LeBron and Wade. They had to figure it out, too. I want to move on to the Bucks.
Thank you, Mac. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, man.
Scoop, I want to move on to the Bucks because they have some, you know, what's his name? I always mispronounce his name because it's pronounced weird. Connaughton, right? How do you say it? He has hops. He really does. And he's an athlete. And they have Eric Bledsoe, who's also an athlete, but not a great shooter, but he can go get his own shot and he can play defense for a little guy for sure. And they have, they have weapons on the team, but they only have one MVP caliber player, and that's Giannis.
Right, that's still not the problem. That's not the problem. I hear what you say. You can talk about
Middleton is the guy, Scoop.
We're on the same. If he plays, they're good. And it goes back to last year, Max, in Game 5 at home against Toronto. I think he had 6 points. He disappeared. They cannot afford to have him have any bad games. That is really that simple with Milwaukee. If he disappears, then they're done. And it seems like, looking at the other game, there may be a tendency in playoff series where Chris Middleton disappears. And they cannot afford him to do that in any game.
Right. Well, I think they can afford some games against the Magic because I don't think the Magic can beat them, even when Aaron Gordon gets back.
But you can't develop that pattern, man.
That's right. Going forward,
if they want to
beat the Heat, Middleton, he doesn't have to be great, but he can't be terrible. Middleton is Middleton is an all-star who can defend and who can score as your number two scoring option. He has not been that in the bubble. Let alone in these playoffs. He must. That's the theme. That's the theme today.
Look at Porzingis.
Yeah. Look at Paul George. Look at Middleton. Whose crime partner, whose MVP caliber player crime partner is actually going to be a partner in crime and not just disappear? That will determine these playoffs largely.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it can't happen over the course of a series. They have to be there every game, Max. Regardless of who they play, they have to be there every game. It has to be consistent. And that's what they have to learn. Like Chris Middleton, like you said, doesn't have to be great, but he can't be anything less than what he has been during the regular season. He can't have a 6-point game. He can't have a 14-point game. He can't just not check in on defense. He has to play like Chris Middleton every damn game for them to win. And the same thing with Paul George. And the same thing with James Harden. We can bring him in this conversation because he has a history of doing the exact same thing.
No doubt about Harden.
You can't afford for those players.
But the difference with Harden is Harden's not the second best player. Harden's the best player. That's an even bigger problem. But I'm hoping that he could turn a corner. Scoop, let me ask something real quick. Have my producer, has Raj roped you into appearing on this show next week yet?
No, he hasn't done that yet. I haven't gotten an invitation yet.
Good. Go ahead. Go work Scoop, Raj, because I got to pay some bills. I'll talk to you next week, Scoop.
All right, man. Peace, Max.
Now COVID-19 has hit the Mets. Also another day, another injury for my beloved Yankees. Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. That coming up on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-7.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Tune in for an NL East rivalry this Sunday as the Braves host the Phillies, presented by Geico. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. I'm going to take some calls. It's 888-SAY-ESPN. Yankees-Mets Subway Series postponed because the Mets tested positive for COVID. Someone on the training staff, I believe, and someone else. Anyway, I wish them well. I hope everyone's healthy on the Mets. But in terms of the baseball of it all, I don't care about the Mets. In fact, I hate the Mets. I'm a Yankees fan. And in New York, as a kid growing up in the bleachers, I can tell you that I think it changed after 9/11, Boston. And then certainly since Boston started winning World Series after they hired Bill James. Boston was public enemy number two for the Yankees fans. The Mets were public enemy number one. Don't tell me you're a Yankees and a Mets fan. Stop that. New York is a type of town. You choose one, and you hate the other. I'm a Yankees fan. I have never seen injuries like that. Like, okay, fine. Teams have been ravaged by injury, and the Yankees are very deep. But do you understand Gleyber Torres is one of the best young players in baseball? He's done things at an age no one's done on the Yankees since Joe DiMaggio. We're going back to what was DiMaggio's rookie season? 37? 19? They're almost 100 years? 80-plus years? Guy plays second base and shortstop, though he hasn't played shortstop well yet. And he's hitting close to 40 home runs a year and getting on base. And, like, it's absurd how good Gleyber Torres is going for an MRI. Luis Severino. Check out. I know Severino hasn't been big in the postseason. Severino, on average, threw the hardest fastball in the major leagues for a couple of years and had nasty, filthy stuff and finished in the top 10 in the Cy Young a couple of times. And he's gone for Tommy John surgery this year. Gone. Paxton struggled so bad, he's going for an MRI now. Stanton hurt. Judge missing time. Like, everywhere you look. And it's not just that these are players. Mike Stanton hit 50. Oh, sorry, he used to call himself Mike. Giancarlo Stanton hit 59 home runs the year before the Yankees acquired him. 59 home runs. It's like an all-time monstrous slugger. Aaron Judge, in his one fully healthy season as a rookie, hit 52 home runs. He's a five-tool player. Takes the ball the other way. He hits for power, hits for average. He can run, throw, and catch. Five-tool player, and every tool is pitched very high. Because he's so big, he takes those long strides. He's genuinely fast, and he's a smart base runner, and he's a technically excellent right fielder, not to mention he has a cannon for an arm, and it's precise. Like, these are injuries to historically great players. I just mentioned three, not to mention Severino and Paxton. And who's the latest? I'm even forgetting who the latest injured Yankee is. There's so many I have to go back to remind myself. Oh, Zach Britton. This dude, let me tell you how good Zach Britton is. He had a 0.57 ERA with Baltimore in like 2016 or 17. A 0.57 ERA with 47 saves. 0.57. And for the Yankees, he had a 1-something ERA last season. You know how good Zach Britton is? He's hurt, like everyone. Sam in Detroit, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up?
Go ahead, Sam.
I just wanted to talk about the current state of the MLB right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not going to last much longer. Mm-hmm. As you can see, the postponement between the Yankees and Mets. I just want to know what you think about that right now.
I think that the baseball is going to hope to limp toward a bubble for the postseason, and I don't know if they'll get there. I think 60 games was a very good idea. At first, I was like, oh, play 81 games at least so we can just double all the stats in our mind. Baseball's driven a lot by comparative analysis and at least counting numbers and comparing players through generations. And if you just cut everything in half, you know exactly what the stats mean, like in a kind of a blink. But 60 games is even smarter because it's tough to get through this season. The players' union, which is rarely the culprit, usually, look, the owners in baseball have robbed, cheated, and stolen from the players for so many decades. There's very little trust there. But in this case, they've lost collusion cases to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, the owners. The courts have found this, or the media, or the arbitrators have found this. The point is that they couldn't convince the players to go in a bubble. It's idiotic. Of course you need a bubble if you want to complete your season. But maybe if they have enough time and it's a short enough season and they go into a postseason bubble, maybe they can do it. I'm going to be so mad at the players if it turns out, well, we can't see our families for a couple months. That's right. That's right. Salaries are prorated, can't see your families. That's how it is. There's no vaccination. So contact tracing, meaning like, where's the virus? Who else have you talked to? Let's find out who has it. Isolate them. They should self-quarantine. And then it runs its course. Then you come out, no more virus. And that way you crush the curve. But in the absence of a vaccination, not just a vaccine, you got to scale up vaccination in millions of doses. In the absence of that, you got to be in a bubble. NBA, zero cases. MLB, teams aren't playing for weeks. The players' union, whose side I'm almost always on against the owners in baseball, screwed this up royally. It was idiotic of them. The players' union was really dumb here. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. What's the time for, Raj? Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Program director talk. Let's pay off the cheese, Max. It's Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys, kind of what McCarthy said.
Nah, son. Nah. First of all, you're dealing with the Kansas City Chiefs. So maybe getting to the Super Bowl, but even then it's not bust. If the Cowboys win a playoff game, that's a good season for them. You know, that would be, listen, the Cowboys, year in and year out, they have a pretty good team. They never get it all together because Jerry Jones's ego won't let him hire a real GM. By the way, he and Steven combined make a decent GM. It's not that they're bad. But you can't just be decent if you want to win a Super Bowl. You got to be excellent. And there's something less than excellent.
All right. Fair enough. Max.
Yeah.
You know this Sunday. I know where you'll be. You'll be sitting in front of the TV watching the Champions League final as PSG takes on Bayern Munich. Now, if my boy, my Brazilian brother Neymar, wins the Champions League final, he will ascend to greatness like Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Were you just speaking English? What is that language you're just talking?
It's the Champions League final, man.
No. I didn't even know Neymar was still playing. He made a comeback or something? Garcia Parra?
You ain't right.
Neymar?
Ain't right.
What the hell is Neymar?
All right, fine.
Who's it? Rolando Blackman? Who are you talking about, Rolando?
All right. We're moving on. Hey, check this out. Talking about the draft, the Warriors should trade the number 2 pick.
No doubt.
No doubt.
They have their backcourt set. They're likely to take a backcourt player, given who the best players in this draft are. They have Andrew Wiggins, who is an underachieving athlete, more than like a great basketball player. But he has some value. Package those guys and go get something you really need. Get another really good player. That's my and by the way, you can trade down. You don't even have to just give up the pick. You can trade down with Wiggins and get a draft pick and something else. What else you got?
All right, fair enough. Last one before you hit the callers. Now, you know Dez left the Ravens without a deal. Bryant has played his last snap in the NFL.
Is what's between no doubt and son? Is there a who cares? The thing about Dez is I'm rooting for him, Raj. But, like, you know, why not? But, like, T.O., at a certain point when he was clearly capable of catching another pass in the NFL, never got the chance, right? There are some players whose brands are so big with fans, but whose abilities, maybe they could still play, like, but their replacement level make it not worth it for a team. They don't want the distraction, and what they're going to get in production isn't worth it. Dez is there. Dez is a name brand player who probably still is good as some NFL players, but who needs to go through the rigmarole if you're a team. So to me, it's a who cares thing. He's not going to make much of an impact on a team. He wouldn't be bad. It's just that he's replacement level is my belief at this point, probably, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Sad day, but he's still working out for teams. He's trying.
I have such a contraption set up here with shoe boxes and stuff, and I'm making a mess.
You got some Charlie Brown shoe boxes?
Yeah, I got a desk coming as a radio setup, but it's not here yet.
Ah, maybe you should have ordered that in the future. You know you had this show for how long? You should have ordered that in the past.
In the future or in the past, Raj? Which one? What about the present? Hey, let me ask you something. Do we have time for callers right now?
Yeah.
Andrew in Philadelphia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Max? How you doing?
Lucian in San Antonio. Let me just tell everyone, before Lucian gets on the air, this is not a social call. It's a radio show. This is entertainment. Are you not entertained? Well, no, you're not. So, hey, what's up? How you doing? It takes 10 minutes to get into the call. Just give me your opinion. You can love me. You can hate me. I'm terrible. I'm great. Whatever it is, or your sports opinion, you agree, you disagree, have something to say. Not what's up, Max. All right, now that we got that out of the way. Lucian in San Antonio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
My top five teams to win it all are the Raptors, the Heat, the Bucks, the Lakers, and Clippers. What do you think of that?
How old are you, Lucian?
11.
By the way, you know how much guts it takes to call a radio show on TV too when you're 11 years old? Lucian, I remember I was a kid and I used to call in radio shows. Your heart's beating fast before you get put on the line.